This is Black Knight Meditations on WSCA 106.1 on your FM dial. We're streaming live online at WSCAFM.org. That's Deceased from As the Weird Travel On, track called Fright. Before that, from Canada, Skullfist. They recently issued their own EP called Heavier Than Metal. You heard the opening cut, Sign of the Warrior. Also in there, Burial Hordes, Infernal Necromancers, from their latest LP, Devotion to Unholy Creed. And before that was not Judas Priest. It was a Judas Priest cover band called British Steel. They covered the Ripper live. You can find that cut on the Hellbangers compilation. Killer comp. Definitely recommend checking that one out. Before that was Incantation, Desecration, from their Diabolical Conquest LP. Yeah, we opened up a show with Pharaoh. Their latest awesome record is called Be Gone. Hopefully we'll get a new one from those guys soon. You heard the opening cut, Speak to Me. And again, you're hearing Deceased right now. Perfect timing, because I've got Deceased main man, King Fowley, on the line right now. We're going to talk Deceased. We're going to talk touring. We're going to talk metal, all kinds of stuff. Anything on your mind? And hey, if you've got any questions for King while I've got him on the air, shoot me an email, blacknightmeditations@msn.com. Hey, King, thanks for joining WSCA Live. We appreciate it.
Hey, it's great to be here, man. No problem at all. It's good to see someone keeping metal alive.
Absolutely damn straight, man. Every Tuesday night, I'm on 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., spinning all different kinds of metal.
That's great.
That includes Deceased as well.
You know, I appreciate it. We appreciate it.
No problem. My pleasure. What I appreciate is the fact that you've stuck to your guns personally over the years, keeping Deceased alive all these years through all the lineup changes.
Yeah, the old
Deceased
is alive.
Yeah, I know.
I love that.
I know. I love that. It's like
contradiction metal.
Exactly. And when talking about this, going to see Deceased live, it's like, wait, that doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
But, you've stuck to your guns even through all the lineup changes, and the Deceased sound has evolved album to album. But you stuck to your guns, and I certainly appreciate it. And hey, your music keeps getting better and better, in my opinion.
I appreciate it. We're trying our best year after year.
So Deceased recently toured the East Coast and Midwest for several dates. You were doing some dates with Super Christ, and the tour had to stop in Austin, Mass. You live in Austin. Also on the bill was Panzer Bastard, Nothing But Enemies, and Rampant Decay. Now, so let's talk touring. Let's just jump right into the whole touring aspect of Deceased. You haven't done too many live shows recently before the Slaves to the Grave tour. Does Deceased need a few shows to sort of warm up to getting to the touring vibe, or are you guys all guns blazing from show number one? How does that work for you?
Well, it's really weird, actually. There's so many guys that have actually filled the roles in the last couple of years. It's kind of crazy. I mean, for so long it was me and Mark and Mike and Les. For since like 90, Mike joined, and then like till shit, was it 2006, when Mike stopped playing live, and then it seemed like, you know, we had a Dave in who had been there for a while on drums, and it was just us still. It was kind of like we were set in our ways, but then things started changing, and we started getting different players in, and stuff like when Matt came in, who's actually from Salem, Massachusetts, up there, and then we got Shane and Eric, who are both from D.C. area, and Les now lives in Texas, and I'm in Philadelphia, so it's like anytime we get together, it's like we need to jam. So it kind of happens that way. But really, when we went up your way, up Massachusetts way last week, we actually rented out a practice space for about 2 hours, ran through the set, got everything together, and just rolled with it from there. It comes together quickly, which I'm really happy. Everybody's a confident player, and it really goes right into whatever it needs to go into. We're right there. That was the first show of the tour, and I thought we were like right on the money with all the sound, and energy was up to par. Of course, by the ninth show in Chicago the following weekend, we were, you know, really up to par, but now we're taking a couple weeks off here before we do it again, and it'll probably go back down a little bit, but overall, it's really worked out well.
Well, do you find that when you do short tours like this, that they're over just as soon as you're getting started? Because you said by the time you were in Chicago, I mean, you're all guns blazing. I mean, do you find that once you get going, it's over, and then you're like, is there kind of a letdown period after you do a short tour?
There is. I like to stay going. It's like right now we're really, you know, right on the money, and it just would be great to just keep going and going and going. Of course, me, I'm a road hog. I like to live on the road, but some of the guys have to do their thing, and getting back to work, and then some guys have to settle down. You know, we didn't take any days off on this at all. It was 9 straight shows, so no days off, and screaming like a banshee catches up with you sometimes. But it all went well, and we all love what we're doing, and there's a lot of energy, and like, you know, we all are dedicated to the style and to what we do, and it just falls into place pretty much. I would like to keep doing more, and this year is our 25th anniversary, so we are doing so many shows that by the end of the year, we'll probably be like, yeah, a little time off would be nice.
Well, what can someone who's already heard your music but have never seen Deceased in concert, what can they expect from a Deceased show?
songs are faster live. It's crazier. I think on record we come off a little bit more darker, moodier, morbid. Live it's more fun, energetic. Definitely with me fronting the band, I enjoy it more. I try to get everybody involved from start to finish. No lulls in this stuff. We try to give them like 55 minutes of just in your face, you know, what we do, and just a lot of energy, and like we try to play as tight as we can, but still make it visually interesting. It's just pretty much just like 1, 2, 3, go.
So you said you do a 55-minute set.
Yeah, usually every night was pretty much, on this last 9 shows, about 55 minutes a night. We were getting in about, it averaged out. Some nights a little longer, some nights a little shorter. We were actually playing, and Superchrist was playing after us on this tour we just did. Since I had all my health issues a few years ago, I take medicines and stuff, and sometimes my docs want me to get done and calm down before I'm even started, so I try to get done as early as I can just because I should, and if I don't, I'll be taking shots in my stomach of blood thinners and all this other yucky stuff that comes with the territory.
Well, since you mentioned you do sets roughly around the 55-minute range, and you've got quite a bit of history, whether through your demos or your albums, I mean, how do you choose a set list? What are the criteria? I mean, obviously, Deceased has a few songs that I guess you could consider your greatest hits, for lack of a better term. But how do you choose the songs that you play live?
Well, one of the down points has been, since there's been a couple players in the last few years, is we have to keep constantly learning the set again, and it's usually the songs that we've been playing the most are the ones we keep playing. We're trying to get more lesser-known tunes, and I don't know if lesser-known is the right words, but just stuff that hasn't been played live as much, and we're trying to concentrate on a lot of the Blueprints for Madness stuff, because that stuff we've not gone around a lot, but we're still working all that stuff in, and with the lack of time to get everybody together in the same room and do that, it's really coming along slowly, and you know, sometimes I don't want to get into what they call the Black Sabbath thing, where it's like the same set year, you know, time after time. Some things are set in stone, but a lot of it I want to open up and do what we can. But we try to do everything. We try to play everything from the demos all the way up to the new record. You know, being a fan of music, when I go see bands, I like to see a little bit of every era. And
absolutely,
that's what we try to give everybody when we play.
Well, do you take into account fan requests?
We try to, people always send in emails like this. Everybody wants to hear right now. Everybody wants to hear A Very Familiar Stranger and stuff. And we've been trying to work that one.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a great song
but
to hear live, yeah.
A lot of our later songs are longer, too. So if we do a couple of those, then you're losing out on some of the stuff. Because, I mean, if you go back to Luck of the Corpse, there's a lot of songs on there that are like 2.5 minutes. Haunted Cerebellum, Decrepit Coma, Shrieks from the Hearse are only like 2.5 minutes. But then you get to stuff like you were just playing Fright. I think it's about 9 minutes long.
Right.
You play that live. So you're like, you either get 4 Luck of the Corpse or 1 Fright. So we try to mix it up night to night. And some crowds are more like, you know, into the intense, fastest stuff. And some crowds like the more melodic, you know, speed metal kind of stuff of the later stuff.
Well, when you're up there playing and you hear the fans out there yelling out songs, I mean, depending on the songs, are you guys able to rip into a request right on the spot if you already have it rehearsed?
Not right now. Hints and pieces, really. It depends. Some stuff's in the set already, and someone will yell something out that we haven't played yet that night. And like the other night, we were playing, and someone wanted to hear The Premonition, and we're like, "Well, we don't really know that one, but we'll play it for you anyway." That's a joke. We did know it, and you know, the guy's like, "Oh, thank you so much," you know, blah 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 blah. But of course, we knew it. But if someone yells out something like "Futuristic Doom,"
that's exactly the song I was just going to mention.
Futuristic Doom. Or Planet Graveyard. We're like, I don't know what's going on. You might hear one note or two. Shane pretty much. Oh, but actually, Shane and Matt both know everything pretty good. They can you know, wing it if it's just for a couple notes as a quick laugh and then move on.
You know, it's funny. Like I said, you mentioned Futuristic Doom. I was going to mention that. And then you mentioned Planet Graveyard, which is a song I would probably be the one yelling out at a show because it's probably my favorite
Deceased
song.
Well, I'm glad you didn't make it in the other night.
I would have been so bummed at night.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Okay, so
that place is too small, but we talk about that later.
Yeah. Deceased has done quite a few cover tunes over the years. You've even got a compilation of the cover tunes of almost all of them. What about playing the cover songs live? I mean, I know you've done Black Metal, but can you rip into the Running Wild cover or anything? You know,
we've done some. We haven't played the Running Wild live. We do a bunch. We were playing Tormentor from Creator for a while. We've done Zombie Attack. We've done the Impetigo Disorganized cover. We've done a lot of stuff, World Peace, the Agnostic Front cover of The Eliminator, all kinds of stuff of like Come and Go through the set. Black Metal always come back to, for some reason, that's just an anthem that just, you know, everybody knows every night, and it's one of those ones
everybody
can just
it.
Sing along. It's a good, you know, finale. Been in the set for about 5, 6, 7 years even now.
It is.
We almost always end with that, but, you know, I just can't think of a better song to end with than that of what we play. I mean, I can't, you know, a lot of things people might dig on a lesser level, but that's the song to end it. But I would like to put some other stuff in there. We're actually putting a World Peace in right now. We'll probably play that at the Maryland Death Fest coming up. And, you know, I like some of that punk stuff too, but you know, we've messed with Sex Pistols, Bodies, we've messed with a lot of that stuff, but just hasn't felt right to do it yet. I think when we go out next year or something, or next time around after this year goes on, we might try to mix it up and make it some crazy stuff for like more of the diehard deceased fans.
Well, do you find that when you play a punk cover versus one of the metal covers, I mean, do you find that the punk stuff goes over just as well as the metal covers that you do?
It depends on the room. It really does, and the place. Some places, like New York, you can play Cro-Mags Agnostic Front all day.
Oh, I would imagine,
North Carolina,
yeah.
And they're like, Cro-Mags, what the hell is this? So it really makes a difference. And also the energy of the room sometimes. Sometimes people just get caught up, and if you play something fast, no matter what it is, they'll get into it, you know, or some breakdown parts or something like that.
All right, well, how about you specifically, songs from your discography that the band as a whole doesn't know, but you really, really want the band to be playing live? What specific tunes do you want to do?
I want to hear us play, or
that you want to hear the band play live that you guys don't know yet?
Well, right now, pretty much, I mean, my favorite song we've ever done on a record or live is Night of the Deceased. We usually always open with that. It's just kind of like it became our anthem over time. We play that. I like a lot of the stuff from Fearless. I like a lot of stuff from Supernatural Addiction, too, because it's more visual and that's more fun to sing live. You can kind of build off that stuff, like Dark Killing Heartbeat we've been playing, and that's kind of like a little horror tale. But I also like playing the early stuff where people sing along, like Haunted Cerebellum and Robotic Village and Shrieks from the Hearse, stuff like that, where everybody gets involved, like a lot of audience participation, and the guys in the band can sing back up. I really do like it all. It varies day to day. I mean, the stuff like The Premonition I always like to play, and
that's a fun song.
Fright's a good one. We're actually working on getting Fright back in the set. That's a pretty intricate song in parts, and that's one I like to play, too. I like a lot of the stuff off Weird. I like to play more of that stuff live, too.
And what about Ellie's Dementia?
Ellie's Dementia I've always wanted to play. That's my song. That's one of the ones I wrote.
You know, my feelings on that song, very interesting. I got when I got the record when it came out, I already knew what Ellie's Dementia was about. Of course, it's about the Blair Witch Project, and I'd already seen the film, and I knew what to expect as far as what the song was about. So when I first heard it, you know what? I hated the song. I'm like, God, it's just such a letdown. But what's weird is that the second time I listened to the record, I listened to it all the way through, and when it came on, I'm like, actually, you know what? It's not so bad after all. And honestly, it's probably like my second favorite deceased tune all time. It went from being a song I hated when I first heard it to a song I love. I mean, if I need a quick deceased fix, that's one of like two or three songs I'll automatically.
Yeah, I mean, the repetition of the riff, I did that on purpose. I kind of wanted that as a repetition to pretty much work the Blair Witch idea, where it's just continuous, and it's like plodding along. But I also wanted to build from there, and then there was some nice middle parts in there. I love the video we did for it too; it's always fun. But I do want to play it live at some point. That's one of the ones a lot of people have asked for too.
Yeah, I'm sure the fans would definitely recognize that one from the get go, and I think that would go over well. I mean, you know, it's a slower tune. I think it'd go over very well live.
We used to actually play the very first part of it live as our intro for the show. Right now we're doing Morbid Shaven Black intro from Blueprints for Madness as our intro into Night of the Deceased. But we used to do that first riff from Ellie's before we got into the main riff as our intro, but right now we're doing the other thing. But I think over time we'll get to Ellie's.
Okay, so let's talk albums now. What is the status of the next record? Where are you at right now?
Well, we've been working on it for many years. We've been working on it for like 5 years, on and off. Like I said, Mark quit the band. Mike retired from live, but he's still doing the albums in the studio and stuff. And a lot of what we've been doing has just we've been slowed down with getting new guys in the band. So a lot of time's gone to showing somebody else something else, like when Shane joined the band or when Matt joined the band. And right now, Les is in Texas. He hasn't been able to do all the shows, and right now we have a friend named Chris from New York who's been filling in on bass for even him. So a lot of the time we're together is spent on that. Me and Mike still get together, and Shane on it when he can get there in Virginia like twice a month, and we work on the stuff. The music's written. We actually even demoed the stuff with just two guitars and me on drums for the next record. The next record's called Surreal Overdose. It's going to come out on our own label, Shrieks from the Hearse, which we did the Double Fearless Undead Machine CD on 2 years back. And we're going to also pay for everything ourselves. We record it nicely back at the same place we did as we were traveling on Assembly Line Studios. And then from there, we're going to just try to get it out there and do our thing. It's pretty much, it sounds like all eras of deceased. People have been asking what it sounds like. It's very, for me, it's very fast. There's a lot going on. It's weird. It's noisy. It's mellow. It's crazy. It's, hyper. It's just all hints of what we do.
So would you say that those who like, any record throughout your discography will find something on Surreal Overdose they'll like?
I think so. I mean, you know, I even hear hints of Luck of the Corpse. Probably the least I hear is Blueprints for Madness, because Blueprints for Madness was kind of an intricate, weird, freaky, crappy produced record. But that's a special place because it's definitely our most, like, you know, everything's going on that record. I don't know. I kind of compare it. I can't really compare it to anything. Just I hear hints of everything.
But it's
my son was listening to the demo, and he said some of it reminded him of Repulsion meets Voivod Roar.
Wow. That's interesting.
It's kind of odd for us because people think we're probably more melodic than ever since the last one had so much. I've actually had a lot of quote-unquote heavy metal people that are really there, like, oh, I love the last album. It's so good. It's so heavy metal now and stuff. But yet, you know, to me, it's still us. I mean, I don't know what people think we're doing. It's just whatever the new 8, 9, 7 songs we do every album, it's whatever feels right. We don't care what year it is or what's in or out.
Yeah. So this would be a likely progression from the last.
Yeah, it's just natural. I mean, you got 5 years, so we've gone through a lot of things. You got 60 months, and it's still not done. We're hoping to record it. Originally, we're supposed to record it in June, but I think it's going to be more towards winter, like November this year. And we probably won't have it out till next year. I hate to say that because I was really hoping to have it out this year, but I think it's not going to come out till like February 2011.
And you're releasing this on your own label. I take it you're going to license it out to other distros and labels to get it out there.
Yeah, something like that. I'm going to try to get it out and stuff. I definitely want to get it in stores if we can and stuff, and, you know, just try to get it around so everybody can get hold of it. The last one, Thrash Corner out of Puerto Rico, did, and they did a great job, but, you know, it's basically a guy out of his house, which is pretty much what we are. We're just guys out of our houses, you know. But, you know, I've got contacts. We've been doing this 25-plus years, so it should be able to be found everywhere, and people that still buy CDs will buy it. And,
So
I don't care if they download it or don't buy it. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to get it out for us most of all. And if people like it, cool.
So now you're thinking 2011 it will be out.
Yeah, I'd like to say 2010, but to rush something after all this time just don't feel right. I mean, I know it's been a while and stuff, and we're all, you know, bummed about that. But, you know, you got to do things the right way. It's what we got into it first. No sense in rushing it. It's not like we're in a hurry to, you know, get something to go back and go on tour or something. We want to get the album out right.
Well, hey, trying to look at things on the bright side, you can call yourself the underground Def Leppard, you know, 5 years in between records. You know?
That's us. Now we just got one of us has to lose an arm.
So, you know, no,
I think
your health
problems. I already
had
the stroke. I lost the blood clot bet.
I was going to say, you've had enough of the health problems. So I think
I'm good. Somebody else take a hit.
Yeah, you've had your Def Leppard curse already, so
yeah.
You've already gone through all that. So, and I take it people will be able to get it straight from your website, up to tombstones.net?
Oh, yeah, up to tombstones.net. Yep, that's what we got running now. We got the Tombstones back up after the used to be .com, but now it's .net. You know, Mark took that with him, and we just do our own thing now. That's worked out well. We got a guy helping us out with the website. He's done a hell of a job.
Yes, and speaking of uptotombstones.net, it's pretty comprehensive. You know, you're streaming all of your releases, which is very cool, by the way, that you do that. Explains a lot about the history of the band. And, you know, that's part of the reason why I don't feel the need for us to go, you know, into the past of deceased with you tonight.
People can just go there and look and see how crazy we were, and when I was skinny, and when Mike had short hair, and, you know, all that kind of fun stuff, and see our Tiger Beat top 10.
All that.
The Bay City Rollers are our special guest of the month.
it's all on
there. I think one of those guys lost an arm.
I'm sure those guys lost a lot.
Oh, no, that was Sean. Nah, I got the wrong band. My bad.
I think they've all lost a little bit.
Yeah,
of something
lost, yeah, they lost more than an arm.
So, I mean, you know, there's some old videos on there, which is pretty cool. So, you know, there's a lot. If people are listening to this interview and thinking, man, you know, I wonder what the old stuff sounds like, or I wonder what these guys were into, but, you know, just go to uptotombstones.net. Everything about you guys is on there. It's very cool that you keep it up with, especially those videos and streaming all your releases. Very, very cool. Now, you know, let's move into a different realm here, because you and I agree on some things, and a lot of those things have absolutely nothing what to do with metal. So let's talk about stuff that, since you and I are of a similar age, let's talk about the 70s and 80s. Let's talk about stuff.
The 70s and 80s.
Let's talk about the stuff we were into as kids. And the stuff we're still into to this day.
Musically or outside of music?
Everything. And I'm going to throw some stuff out at you, and I think you and I are going to find some common ground on this, because, you know, these are the things that really matter in life, you know.
Okay.
You know, not like working.
Now it gets fun. Let's do it.
Yeah, now is where it gets fun. All right, let's start off with my absolute all-time favorite band, Kiss. Now,
Kiss rules.
Kiss absolutely rules.
Kiss rules. They were my second band. Beatles were my first, which got me to Kiss. And, I mean, being a kid and seeing them splattered everywhere, especially Gene Simmons' over-the-top image, just did it. And they had the songs, and they still do, and people come to me, they Kiss, and Gene Simmons is such a schmuck, and you know, whatever. Kiss and songs, they stand up. Mach 1 Kiss is unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And one of my favorites is Unmasked, believe it or not.
I love Unmasked. Oh, we're going to get to that because I love a lot of the stuff that a lot of even massive Kiss fans aren't that crazy about. I mean, I'm a huge Kiss fan. You know, so what about all the merchandise if you don't like it or you don't like the fact that Gene's all about the doll? It doesn't matter because it's ultimately about the songs. And those guys
no one
always had
the
songs.
The merchandise or anything. Some people want the Kiss pinball machine. I do have the Kiss pinball machine.
Yeah, damn you.
Got it from Tesco V from the Meat Man, believe it or not.
Ah, damn you. You've got it and I don't. All right, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. The first three records or the second three records, which do you prefer?
The second three.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not, honestly and truly, I like the songs, but I've never been that big on Destroyer. I think it's too produced for Kiss. I love Rock and Roll Over and Love Gun. My favorite Kiss of all is Kiss Alive 2.
Great
I love
record.
Songs like I Stole Your Love, Love Gun, Making Love. Every song with love in it. I Want You. Those are my favorite. That's my favorite era of Kiss. I mean, stuff like that. We actually can play Love Gun right now in the set with Deceased, but we haven't done it live yet. Just sound checked it.
Deceased, Love Gun. Wow, that would be interesting. I would like to hear that. I never would have guessed that. Of all Kiss songs for you guys to play, Love Gun, I wouldn't have guessed. But that would be rather interesting.
Yeah, it's just the power stuff. Everybody in the band is such a big Paul Stanley freak. We love his voice.
That's my guy in Kiss.
Paul Stanley guy. His solo album rules.
When I dressed up as a Kiss member back in the day, I was always Paul Stanley.
Me too. We actually did it in the fifth grade talent show. I was Paul. We did a show. It was funny because we only did a couple Kiss songs. We threw in some like Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush and Aerosmith too. We had a time for like four songs, and we only had like one Kiss record in the school library, which was Kiss Alive 1. So we did Rock Bottom and we did Black Diamond. From Kiss Alive 1, and then we threw in, like, some Aerosmith. What the heck did we do? I don't even remember. We did something Frank Marino that I actually had in the place, and it was something drug-related, and I think the teachers got upset. It was like, you know, something like, where the thing starts out, you got a joint. Fifth grade, you know, fun stuff like that.
Okay, so let's talk about the four solo records that came out in October 78. I think Paul's is an absolute classic and is the best of the four.
Paul's is definitely the best of the four. Mine, order for me, Paul, Ace, Gene, Peter.
That's my odor as well. That's absolutely.
Maybe we're long lost brothers. Yeah, that is the best. I mean, Gene, you know, when I was a kid, I was expecting Gene to be better. And as I've gotten older, I definitely like it more. Ace surprised me. I've still never been a big fan of Ace Frehley's voice.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I see. He's not the most gifted vocalist, that's for sure. I like his voice.
Usually
he's just not
a singer. Like when I was saying Unmasked, I love so much. I don't like his. I never liked his tunes on there. I'm not into Two Sides of the Coin or Talk to Me. I love stuff on there like What Makes the World Go Around.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow. The Paul songs.
The Paul songs. Absolutely. Yep. Totally agree with that. Although I will say when it comes to Unmasked, Naked Cities could
Naked
be my
City
favorite
rules.
Song.
Naked City rules. Gene's one of his best tunes. I definitely
Absolutely.
Love it too.
Absolutely. Great song. But I agree that Paul, I think his record is the best. The riff, Tonight You Belong to Me, best riff ever.
Yes, definitely. Definitely you reused for sure knows something too.
I mean, that sure knows something, one of my all-time favorite tunes.
Yeah, love it. Love the unplugged version on the Kiss Unplugged.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, great version of it, absolutely.
That's totally cool you're into Kiss. I mean, when you it's either you love Kiss or hate Kiss. Me and Chris, the bass player, was filling in. We're talking about that the other day. There's no in-between. You love Kiss or you hate Kiss.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be much, you know, they're okay, that's fine. You know, no, either like us where you want to own the pinball machine or like you're sorry ass that you do own it and I don't. But, yeah, you're right. There's no in-between. The Dynasty record, I love, you know.
Me too. I love it too. I hear some disco flavor. I don't mind. I like disco. So it doesn't bother me.
I love disco.
But I don't hear it as much as people want to say it.
No. And that's
Save Your Love is actually good Ace Frehley. Hard Times is good Ace Frehley.
Absolutely. Ace's songs on that record are great.
But the hidden classic on there is Magic Touch.
Oh, great song. It's a typical Paul Stanley melodic rocker. I love those. Are my favorite
Kiss
songs.
Sound checks right there. Magic Touch. We do that at Soundcheck.
Wow. That's amazing. The Deceased would do that one too. You know, those are my favorite.
I gotta check because I gotta get some more chest hair first, but I'm ready. I'm gonna glue some on for the next show.
Yeah, I think Paul's got everybody beat in the chest hair department.
Sure does.
But those melodic Paul Stanley tunes, those are my favorite tunes on all the records. It's always
That's
the
cool.
ones that he
yeah,
does
Paul
like that.
Paul Stanley's the man. I don't care.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you. All right, then let's continue on with the Kiss discussion here. The Elder is one of my all-time favorite albums. How do you
Great
find
album.
It?
Great album. I love it too.
I love
when
it.
When I was a kid, liked it. When I grew up, I liked it more. I love it. Some people hate it. Even Kiss fans will goof it, you know, whatever.
I love it.
I love it. You know, I love The Oath, man. Come on.
I love the whole record is perfect. I mean, it's so what that it was a bad decision or it didn't sell. You know, when Paul and Gene talk about it, all they want to talk about is the finance behind it, the business end. You know, it was a bad decision. We shouldn't have done it. talk about the music. The music is great.
It is. Absolutely. It's great. I mean, I always wonder why they didn't make the movie. With Chris Make,
Chris
Meatballs,
Make
Peace fame.
Oh, and My Bodyguard.
That's it, My Bodyguard.
My Bodyguard. I was going to bring that up a little bit later, but you mentioned Chris Makepeace, My Bodyguard, absolutely.
The bike belongs to him now.
Yeah, Moody. So, yeah, I mean, hell, when The Elder was out, when it was their latest record, I, again, dressed up as Paul for Halloween, so I loved The Elder.
Did you cut your hair, too?
No.
You didn't get that purple headband going?
I didn't have the headband, and I didn't cut the hair, no. Well, actually, I had short hair anyway back then. I mean, come on, it was 80.
It worked itself out.
Okay, before we wrap up the Kiss thing, how do you feel about the 80s period? Now, obviously, we both, I'm sure, can agree Creatures is amazing. And I think
Creatures is great. My last album, My Kiss, I really like is Lick It Up. I love Lick It Up.
Great record, Lick It Up. I think it's...
After that, it's hit or miss with a lot more miss than hit for me. I do like some of the stuff, like, you know, I know a lot of stuff was, like, you know, co-written with Desmond Child and all that stuff, like Hide Your Heart. I love that, and I love... What else? Tears Are Falling, all that stuff's great. Always the Paul songs.
Absolutely. Totally agree with it. Gene songs
never
in the 80s
didn't care for some of the... I'm not as big on Revenge as a lot of people are. I can't stand that Carnival of Souls. Don't like Psycho Circus outside of the title track, you know, when it came back and stuff.
Well,
the 80s was all right. I mean, some of that stuff, Animalize, Asylum, hit or miss. Thrills in the Night's good.
Well,
you get something like Burn, Bitch, Burn, it just...
I think that the Lick It Up record is a little unfairly looked down upon just because of that one song. And you know what? Lick It Up, the song, is the worst song on the record. The whole record
is
great.
I mean, the hit on that one, the hidden classic on that one's 1,000,000 to 1.
1,000,000 to 1. It's Paul's
tune.
That
and Exciter are my favorites.
That one and Exciter are my favorite. Dude, what's going on with you and me? Come on. We're
going. Weird,
we're agreeing on just about everything Kiss tonight. 1,000,000 to 1 and Exciter. And they used to do that live on that tour for a few shows. I've got some bootlegs of it.
I actually saw that tour, except opened up.
Oh, man.
The Walls tour. I saw it. It was weird, except opened. And when they played, the lights in the arena never went down. They just played with the lights on. It was weird.
Oh, that's weird. I wonder if Gene had a little fun with them.
Vinnie Vincent was out there creeping me out. Just a creepy dude.
Yeah, I've heard stories about him. But as far as Animalize and Asylum go, you know, they had some of their heaviest, most aggressive tunes in those records. And I think people just focus on their image and the glammy image. But listen to the music. They've got some double bass, thundering songs. There are some songs in there that kind of make me want to mosh, you know. So
yeah,
I think there's some
Eric
great
Carr's
songs
great
in there.
Drummer.
Oh, man.
Smith.
He is what made those guys, whatever was good about them in the 80s, you can trace it back to Eric Carr. Absolutely. Man's amazing.
That's right. He saved them.
I will say the one thing where you and I disagree on, I think Revenge is absolutely amazing record.
Yeah, some people do. I don't like it. I mean, I don't hate it. I just don't get into it that much. I like Tough Love is my favorite off that.
Oh, that's a good song.
That's my favorite. I just can't stand stuff like Domino. It just sounds like ZZ Top or something. Not working. Unholy's all right, but it just
Unholy's
it seems
good.
Forced. I don't know.
Heart of Stone is my favorite. Heart of Chrome, I mean. Heart of Chrome is my favorite. That's a great song. Great, again, a great Paul song. So when is Deceased going to release a Kiss covers album?
I don't know. Hopefully soon.
Let's do it, man.
I'm ready to do it tonight now. I got to get my 10 songs or 15 songs.
Let me choose the songs. Since, hey, if you're going to play stuff like Magic Touch, you know, if you're going to warm up with songs like that, I mean, you guys can do anything then. Let's have it.
Maybe we'll work them into the set.
Let's do it. Deceased covers record of Kiss.
I could probably do some of those highs, maybe.
Okay.
On a good day.
So let's move on from...
I'm down right now from the tour. Like when we finished in Chicago, there was like an ice hail downpour when I was leaving. I was already sweaty from the show, and I usually go sleeveless shirts, and I'm running around trying to make sure everybody's getting to their rides because we're in a bad, shitty neighborhood. And came back home, and now I'm all slopped up in my head.
Slopped up in your head.
Yeah, but about 2 weeks from now, I'm sure I could pull off Shandy.
Again, an amazing song. One of my favorites.
Absolutely.
Love Shandy. Okay, so let's move on from Kiss. Let's talk new wave music.
Okay.
I'm really into new wave. Always have been since a kid. So what do you think are the quintessential albums from the era?
New wave?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to put you on the spot here.
I don't know what my favorites are. I don't even know when to start it or not. I mean, some of my favorites were the first Missing Persons EP.
Oh, man. Their old stuff was great.
I love
great,
that.
Their first
couple
were great.
All the old Blondie, if you call it that. I don't know what they were calling it then, punk, new wave. I don't know.
No. Yeah,
I like that stuff. I love... The Fix records, I love, like Shuttered Room.
Oh, okay.
I'm more of a girl vocalist for new wave than guy, but I love The Fix is one of my favorite bands.
They do.
I love that guy's voice. I love everything about that band. That's some of my favorite new wave. Of course, The First Cars, but is that new wave?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's interesting that, you know, when something becomes a trend, a lot of other music kind of adapts to the trend and kind of becomes the in sound. And then you say, well, is this new wave or is this this? Is this that? And, you know, you mentioned the girl groups. I mean, girl-fronted groups. How about Berlin, Pleasure Victim? That EP is amazing.
I love Pleasure Victims. Great.
I think that's probably my favorite record. The synth melodies, best ever.
Oh, they're great. I like stuff like the Suburban Lawns from back then. I love. Mm-hmm. Then you get into stuff that's like, what is horror punk, new wave? What is the 45 Grave to you?
45 Grave, man. Oh my God, you know, I haven't even heard of them in a long time.
It's weird.
Wow.
People start throwing keyboards in like Devo and stuff. They call that new wave, but there's a lot of it's a hard line there. But those my favorites were like Missing Persons, The Fix, Blondie. I guess we're throwing them in. I'm going to throw the Cars in there. I don't know why, but I am. That's the stuff I like. Some of the lesser known stuff that I like Suburban Lawns and The Unknowns, bands like that were cool. I missed out on a lot of stuff back then because I was limited on money. A lot of new wave was hard to find, especially underground new wave.
Yeah, and I relied on radio, really. You know, that's what I relied on.
I pretty much got the hits, too. I know everything from Flock of Seagulls to Human League and all that stuff, too.
You know, interesting, I was going to bring
it up. I do like it. I mean, it always had a haunting vibe to new wave.
Absolutely. It's those melodies.
Even hits like Iran from Flock of Seagulls and stuff always had a haunting vibe to them.
It's all about that synth melody, and that's what I liked, especially at Berlin's Pleasure Victim EP. Those synth melodies are haunting. They really are.
Yeah, that song, Pleasure Victims, is very creepy, and so is the Metro.
Oh, I love that EP. The first Flock of Seagulls record is amazing. I think it's one of the best new wave records
out there.
I
saw you in your email. You said you interviewed Human League.
Oh, yeah, the Human League's Dare record, I think, is fantastic.
That's cool. I love the Human League. I saw them like 2 years ago. I think it was them, Berlin, and somebody else was the Bangles. Nice, I don't know, but I saw a couple of those bands.
Wow.
They were all still pretty good.
Yeah.
The best band of that era I've seen is The Fix, though. Those guys are great. That guitar player reminds me of, like, he's like the Piggy of New Wave guitar player.
Well, that's interesting you put it like the Piggy
that's
of the New
band.
Wave era.
The
wow.
Fix, Red Skies, all that stuff, man.
Yeah, man, there were some great radio tunes that came out back then. Chamber of Hellos by Wire Train, one of my favorite songs.
A lot of that stuff. Do you remember the band The Bongos?
The Bongos. What was their hit?
They had a song called Number with Wings.
Oh man, if I were to hear it right now, I'd probably recognize it. But I'm drawing a blank on it.
That's some good stuff like that. And there's like some other bands I like too. ABC was pretty good. At times, some of their lesser known stuff was actually pretty good.
There's a song called China by Red Rockers. It's killer tune.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and Human League, The Sound of the Crowd, I think is a quintessential new wave tune. Flock of Seagulls, Modern Love is Automatic, and like we were talking about Pleasure Victim by Berlin, those are just, man, those are amazing
songs. It's like you were saying now, like back then people would be like, what, you can't listen to Sodom and like that too? I'm like, why can't I?
You like
Faith's Warning, and then you like The Fix? Come on.
Yeah, people like what they like, you know?
Yeah, I've always been that way. I remember catching hell for Digging Rage for Water, Queensryche, when it came out. Oh my God, look at them, they're terrible.
And it could be their best
record.
This
is my favorite record of the year.
It could be their best record they've ever done, too.
I
love Rage for Water.
For me, it is.
I absolutely love Rage for Water. You know, people like what they like. I mean, hey, I can listen to the most blasphemous black metal, but you know what? ABBA is my favorite group. So,
there you go.
I mean, I worship ABBA, so hey, it goes either way.
No Doubt's one of my favorite bands. I think No Doubt's keeping that new wave vibe alive, even though
I've never been a No Doubt fan, but I agree with it. They've definitely got the new wave thing going on.
You
in
should
some
try
of
it some more. You should pick up the Return to Saturn album and really sit down and listen to it. That's like the
Return
totally
to Saturn.
The new wave album.
It's 6 minutes after 11 p.m. You're listening to WSCA LP Portsmouth 106.1 FM. This is Black Knight Meditations, and I've got King Fowley of Deceased on the line. We're not talking Deceased. We're not talking metal. We're talking about the important things in life, like new wave music.
Love isn't always on time.
We're talking the important stuff, man. Okay, did you still catch some of those bands? Because obviously, you know, they're still touring. You said you
caught Human League recently. One of my favorites ever is Pat Benatar. I always see her. Now she started
great.
Rock, got new wavy around Get Nervous. Great album. One of my favorite albums of all time. See Blondie, see The Fix.
Crimes of Passion. I mean, Pat is great. And actually, I missed the tour. Pat Benatar, Blondie, and the Donnas were playing recently. I missed it, and I sucked.
Yeah, they did that here last year for free. I didn't go. I didn't know about it till the day after. Free. I said, free. That's my favorite.
favorite kind of show. I found I somehow screwed up and didn't find out about it till the day of, and it was too late for me to go. I'm like, oh, what a tour to miss, you know. Oh, well. And, hey, the Regeneration Tour of 08 was stellar. You know, we got the Human League and Belinda Carlisle and ABC. And
love Go-Go's. Love Belinda Carlisle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She was quite
the bitch. I was YouTubing out to her earlier. I love her Real album.
Man, she is... Whew. Man, yeah. We could talk a lot about her.
Yeah. What the hell are they talking about on there? These guys are goofy.
Hey, that's what I love about doing this is because, hey, we can be goofy all we want.
We're just goofing off.
Absolutely. Having fun. That's what it's all about, having a good time. All right, let's talk TV from our childhood, all right?
Okay.
I'm going to put you on the spot on a few of these. I want you to choose your side. I'm going to give you a couple of options. You choose your side, all right?
Okay.
Ponch or John?
John.
Nice. I agree. Here's a tough one. This is real tough, but I've got an answer. Janet, Chrissy, Cindy, or Terry?
That Three's Company is my favorite TV show of all time.
Love it.
And Janet, I love Janet. I'm going to go with Terry.
I'll go with Terry. It's a toss up between Terry and Cindy for me. But if I had to choose, I guess I'll go with Terry. I love Janet.
Pretty much met them all. Got
really?
Pictures with Joyce DeWitt. Got pictures with Priscilla Barnes. Got pictures with I forget her name. Cindy Snow. What's her name?
Suzanne.
You
Summers.
Know her. Are you talking about Cindy Snow?
Oh God.
Jenny Lee Harrison.
Jenny Lee Harrison.
Met Richard Klein.
Wow.
Got all four of them.
It's not enough.
I'm a big fan, but yeah, I'll go with Terry.
It's not enough that you have the Kiss pinball machine. Now you've got to rub this in my face.
Got a Charlie's Angels pinball machine.
Oh, you suck, man.
And that's Cheryl Ladd. Now, you want to talk about my childhood, Cheryl Ladd's chest area.
Cheryl Ladd got me
through the 70s.
That and
Judy Landers on Vegas and BJ and the Bear back-to-back. And then she went into the 80s riding the Madam's place out.
Dude, I'll take either Audrey or Judy Landers. I'm not picky.
That's not picky. Definitely. Whatever.
Either or,
I'll be happy.
Yeah, I'll go with Terry on that one. Okay, how about this one? Night Flight or Friday Night Videos?
Night Flight.
Oh, nice choice.
I got to go Night Flight, and I'll tell you why. Because Night Flight, when I was growing up and went through my little era of drugs, I'd come home and I'd turn it on 1 minute and 45 Grade would be on. I'd turn it on again. The Clash would be on. I'd turn it on again. It'd be Y&T live from Reading Festival. And it had the most weirdest shows on there.
Yeah, and they did have some really, really weird, creepy things. I mean,
New Wave Theater. You ever watch that?
New Wave Theater.
That was cool. And then here we go, when we say what's New Wave and what's not. They had bands on there like Dead Kennedys and Fang and 45 Grave and
Blurring the Line. Yeah, Blurring the Line between, you know, punk, New Wave.
Yeah, I like Friday Night Videos, but Friday Night Videos was pretty much simple. I mean, Night Flight ran from, like, 10 o'clock at night till 6 in the morning.
Yeah, it repeated itself about
2 a.m.
And it had all kinds of weird stuff on there.
A friend of mine just hooked me up. I got about 150 hours of Night Flight on DVD-R.
Do you have the one where the woman was alone in her apartment and the puppet?
Oh, yeah, the dummy?
The dummy, right. Oh,
see, that's the later Night Flight stuff. That's great, too. I have all that. But I have the real earliest days when they'd show, like, Godzilla versus Bambi, and you turn it on and you see, like, Molly Hatchet live from... God knows where.
I remember catching the when I Love It Loud video was released. I remember catching it on Netflix.
Absolutely. I had that interview with them sitting in those chairs.
I remember watching that back in 82. I'm like, oh,
I got it all on tape.
Oh, yeah, man.
Still do. Original VHS.
All right, so here's another one. Best host for USA Up All Night, Gilbert Gottfried or Rhonda Shear?
Rhonda Shear.
Oh, okay.
Partied with Rhonda Shear. Had some couple beers with Rhonda Shear.
She's crazy.
She's nice as hell. Gilbert Gottfried's cool, too, but in a different way.
I don't think I prefer one over the other. I think when I enjoyed Up All Night more when Gilbert was hosting, and then
he was crazier.
And then when Rhonda came on, I guess I wasn't as interested in it anymore.
Yeah, it was different. So. You got a different mood. He's like, you got in something sexy at lunch, dude.
and Rhonda looked a little bit better than Gilbert.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another one for you. Best solid go to holes: Dionne Warwick, Andy Gibb, or Marilyn McCoo.
I'm going to go on a vote in Rex Smith.
Rex Smith.
You think you didn't know I knew that, did you?
Oh, man.
I just got 100 hours of solid gold on DVD-R, too.
Dude, I mean, I like Rex Smith. I mean, I love Street Hawk.
No, he's not my favorite. I'm joking. Marilyn McCoo's my favorite.
That's my favorite, too.
I had to throw it out there. Hey, this is Rex Smith.
Well,
we played a show the other night somewhere, and these girls were dancing at the show, and I was at the end of the show. I was like, I want to thank the deceased solid gold dancers.
My
wife's in Solid Gold. She's my favorite Solid Gold dancer.
I used to watch...
what I might have to do? I might have to switch phones for you here. It looks like my phone is dying.
Oh, well, we've been on for like 35 minutes.
60-second crossover with my cell.
And you know what? Even if you have to do that, I'll throw on a deceased song. Even if we lose you, I'll throw on a deceased song. You call back, I'll put you back on.
I think it's going to hang up on you, brother. I got my cell right here, though. I'm on the other phone in the house, the battery phone.
I'll tell you what.
I'll call you back in 60 seconds.
Do it. I'll play Futuristic Doom. How about that?
Okay, you got it, brother.
You got it.
Play right back. Bye-bye. You
You know, it's been so long since we've had King Felly from Deceased on Black Knight Meditations. I figured I'd bring him back on one more time. Okay, so King, let's pick up where we left off here. We were talking
Solid Gold. Solid Gold, I think Rex Smith's ghost interfered.
Dude, you know what? I like Rex Smith. I loved watching Street Hawk. I mean, he was actually a decent daredevil. But what killed me is when he would sing the songs from the artists who couldn't perform on Solid Gold.
Oh yeah,
that
was the worst.
It's like, oh my god.
Yeah, here's Rex Smith singing this week's number six. You know, song Rebuilt the City. Jefferson Starship.
It's like no,
Rebuilt
no, no.
the city on rock and roll.
And of course, he'd act out the emotion in the song. It's like no, Rex, stick to TV
yeah,
shows.
Yeah, pretty much was fruity.
Stick to
maybe
Street
we'll do backups
Hawk.
On the new disease.
I'll go with Andy Gibb or Marilyn McCoo for host of Solid
Yeah,
Gold.
I love Marilyn McCoo. Yeah. She's my favorite.
She's awesome. Okay, so who had the best TV special? Suzanne Summers, Linda Carter, or Olivia Newton-John?
Linda Carter, and you know why.
I Was Made for Loving You.
That's right. Yeah. You know it.
I
that little slinky little Black Widow outfit.
You know, I love Linda Carter. I really do. I'm going with Olivia because she's my all-time favorite. And Olivia had ABBA and Andy Gibb on her special.
I have that
so,
special on DVD yeah, on, too.
I got it,
sitting
too.
Sitting around, they're talking, and they're all around on the little
Oh, yeah,
tools,
they're sitting
right?
around, sitting around talking. Oh, man, that's my
favorite. I love that, too. But, man, Linda Carter, she rocks out I Was Made for Loving You and Rock and Roll Fantasy in the same section. And then on another special, she did Hit Me Through Best Shots, Bev and Antar.
Yeah. I love the Linda Carter special. Suzanne Summers did a good job, but it's all about Olivia
Suzanne
for me.
Suzanne was live with the guys overseas. Wasn't she wearing like the sailor outfit?
Oh,
my God. Or something?
And she actually, I give her credit. She stuck with the whole special thing for quite a while. I mean, not all of them were on TV, but she actually made quite a career doing the one-offs, especially when she wasn't on Three's Company for a lot of episodes,
yeah,
when they had to film her from her.
I mean, since I'm a Three's Company fanatic, I read the book. I've seen so many things on it. Boy, her husband really got her in a bad bind.
Oh, are you talking about the book Come and Knock on Our Door?
Yeah, great book.
I've read it three times, man. Love that book. Absolutely.
Yeah, me too. That's awesome.
He did a great job on it. Okay, all right, now choose now between That's Incredible or Real People.
That's Incredible.
I agree. But I love both.
Real People was all right, but That's Incredible. It was good. It always had good old Fran Tarkenton.
Fran Tarkenton, John
Davidson,
Kathy Lee Crosby.
I used to see Kathy Lee Crosby all the time because she used to go out with Joe Theismann from the Redskins. And since I was from Virginia, we'd go down, and there was a barbershop right next door to his restaurant. And friends of mine would always be in there getting haircuts, and we'd always see Kathy Lee Crosby.
Kiss the coach. Yeah, I liked both shows. And granted, That's Incredible was spawned because of Real People's success. But, yeah, That's Incredible was awesome. And it was just so damn creepy at times. Even though
I remember they found the Amityville Horror.
The Amityville Horror. Yeah. I mean, I remember the segment about the plane crash. I think it was in D.C. And the toy store that was haunted. So they did some filming overnight in the toy store. And, like, little toys would roll in the aisles from a toy store.
I remember all that, too. I had to get some of those. I got a buddy that really has, like, some lady he knew growing up had Beta machines. And she used to tape everything. So when I get this stuff from him, it's not even replay stuff from, like, even the 80s. Like, these Solid Golds were, like, the original
broadcast.
And everything.
Nice. I think I need to meet this guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Okay, so. So here's a trifecta for you. Circus of the Stars, Battle of the Network Stars, or Games People Play?
I'm going with Battle of the Network Stars.
I am too, absolutely. Circus was cool. I liked Games People Play, but Battle of the Network Stars, come on. I mean, did you root for ABC, NBC, CBS? Did you have a network you rooted for?
I've always been ABC. That Tuesday night lineup back then. Mm. Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Three's Company, all in a row, Taxi.
I preferred NBC, but I will have to, well, you know, Aaron Gray, Buck Rogers, but I will say that depending on the show, it depends on which actress was on which team,
right,
would had a lot to do with which team I would root for sure.
That's totally cool. I mean, I understand. It's like, a lot of those shows were great for what they were, but the women stood out.
Oh, yeah. Like when some of the actors from Chips were on there, oh, man. Oh, yeah.
Randy Oaks from Chips.
Randy Oaks. Randy Oaks. Absolutely. Okay, one more. Ripley's Believe It or Not or In Search Of?
In Search Of, definitely.
Oh, wow. I love both. I think Ripley's a little more, I guess it covered more ground than In Search
better
Of.
Better show, but I like the theme better on In Search Of. It's older. I like the 70s vibe to it. Obviously, it was
70s vibe. But Leonard Nimoy's voice on that show just made it. I mean, just as much, if not even more, than Ripley's, you know. But
Jack themes. Palance on Ripley's. And then didn't what's his name take over? Dean Cain.
Dean Cain about, what was that, 10 years ago? Yeah.
Yeah.
But the theme song for In Search Of was pretty creepy too.
So. It's creepy. I actually have the vinyl, the album of that.
Oh,
I
the
just,
vinyl. Wow.
And again, my friend just made me every episode of In Search Of. Now those are rebroadcast. When I guess he did Discovery Channel, one of those odd channels a few years ago, they played all the In Search Of's and he dubbed them all off. So I have all those now. I'm going to sit down and watch like In Search Of Sasquatch and Nostradamus and whatever else is on the damn thing.
Whenever I come across those, I watch them. They're a blast, including Ripley's too. Absolutely. Okay, so before we wrap this up, let's talk about some movies here. Again, these are movies going back to our childhood, and I loved the movies back then that utilized the whole Cold War paranoia, you know, for their stories like War Games and Cloak and Dagger and Gotcha, which is one of my favorite films. Love those movies. Any Cold War movies stick out for you?
I don't know if I know much Cold War movies.
You probably like Gotcha.
You might have trumped me there.
I'm sure you like Gotcha.
I never really followed those, to be honest with you.
Really?
I was more, growing up, I mean, that was two things for me, the TNA 80s movies or anything horror.
Anything horror. Okay, well, let's talk horror. Back in the day, the horror movies, which were your films back then that were horror?
Well, the first thing I can remember even going to as a kid was Jaws when I was about, I guess I was almost eight. And my mom's boss took us all to the movie theater, and I remember going that part when the head comes to the boat, freaked me out. And that's what I remember as a kid, as a memory. The movies that blew me away, I can remember even before that seeing the commercial for It's Alive with the Baby.
One of my favorite movies, man. I saw it back in the day, too.
Yep, scared the hell out of me. But the movie that scared me the most in the theater of any was Burnt Offerings with Karen Black.
Oh, I never saw that.
Oh, that's one you got to see. When I was a kid, I told my mom the last scene was coming. I said, we got to go in the lobby. She goes, okay, you go to the lobby. I'll be there when the movie's over.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. And I kept trying to turn away. You must see. It's called Burnt Offerings. It's Karen Black, Reed, Betty Davis, and Burgess Meredith.
Well, I definitely know Karen Black. And
it's the same house they used in Phantasm as the mausoleum mortuary.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
That was.
Burnt Offerings, Karen Black. Right, I'll definitely check it out. But then again, back in the day, it didn't take much to scare me. Like Eyes of Laura Mars creeped me out.
Oh, I love that. Faye Dunaway.
Yeah, Faye Dunaway, Eyes of Laura Mars. I mean, I remember when I first saw Carrie back then, I'm like, oh, man, that
scared the hell out of me, too.
God,
what's weird about that is we went to go see it at the theater, and right before when we walked in, somebody cut the screen with a knife. They cut the screen. They actually closed the curtain. That's how old it was. They actually closed the curtain on the screen and brought in this big screen. It was surprisingly big, but it was on legs. It was almost like a health class screen, and they showed the movie on that, and it was like, you know, scaled down.
Mm. Wow.
It was weird, but I saw it on that.
That's interesting.
Gary scared the hell out of me. Let's Scare Jessica to Death. I don't know if you've ever seen that one.
You know, I never. That's been on my list, my eternal list of things to check out. Let's Scare Jessica to Death. I just never gotten around to watching it.
That's a creepy one. That's really weird. That's really off the wall. There's a few that lesser known ones I love so much. I love Black Christmas, the original.
Well, you know, I never watched a lot of the lesser known ones, the more underground films, because back in the day I was so young, you know, if it didn't get replayed on TV on like the Movie Channel or HBO or Cinemax, you know, I probably didn't see it. So I was only aware of the more well-known films.
Yeah, well, if you talk off on the email, I'll send you a list of some ones you see. There's one that's really good, and no one knows this movie. It's from 1974. It's called The Premonition.
Nope.
It's about this band, these hippies that want to get in this rock band going, which is along the lines of Grand Funk or Led Zeppelin or something. And they go out to this shack, and they start eating this peyote, and it makes them all start having bad trips, and they start seeing death. It's really freaky.
No one
knows this movie. It's called Alan Rudolph's Premonition.
Wow.
Another one from 78 is called Till Death. And that, I actually put that up on YouTube, a clip from that. I was trying to get the rights to put that out. I'm trying to start a horror DVD label, too.
Hmm.
And I try to get the rights to that. It's not working out. But those are two that really stand out from the 70s. Of course, all the classics, The Exorcist and The Omen and all those are good, too. But, you know, for lesser known ones, there's so many. I could be here hours. I mean, that's one of the things I spend all my money on is movies. I must have 14,000-15,000 movies.
Wow. Jeez, dude. Yeah, that's pretty hardcore, man. That's a crap load of movies.
Yeah, that's, like I always say, that's my beer and cigarettes. I don't drink or smoke. So that's where
same
my
here,
money
man.
Goes, that, my
exactly.
Family.
Same here. You know, I never touch drugs. No smoking, no drinking. I don't do any of that. You know, I spend my time on the cool stuff, like, you know, music and movies, stuff like that. Stuff that's important.
That. I wish I quit drinking in 2002, got old, quit drugging when I was like 17, 18 years old. I had enough of that. Almost killed me. Up to tombstone.net can tell you the story of that.
no
fun.
The movies that scared me the most as a kid I mentioned Carrie, but the first Halloween. To this day, the first Poltergeist. Those two films.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I saw that with my mom. That was good.
I saw them in the theater. Those two movies have the two most terrifying scenes for me. And in Halloween, when he is standing in the doorway with that sheet over him.
Oh, yeah, that's creepy as hell.
God, that terrifies me. I mean, it creeps me out just talking about it. Oh, and nothing happens. Just him standing in the doorway with that sheet over him. Oh, God.
Yeah, she didn't know. That was her boyfriend. That was old PJ Souls of Rock and Roll High School fame.
Rock and Roll High School. And also.
And Gary.
Poltergeist has probably the creepiest scene ever. When she's in the kitchen, she walks out of the kitchen and walks back in, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the chairs have been stacked onto the table. Oh, my God. To me, that is absolutely terrifying. To me, that's horror to me. That's what scares the hell out of me. I mean, the chairs are just
definitely creepy. I think that scene when you're talking about Carrie, I think that scene when she's in the prom and she flips out.
Oh, God.
And all of a sudden, there's that hum over the soundtrack where it's just...
Yes. But the look that she was able to conjure up in those eyes, man. Oh, my God. That's what made
definitely
the scene.
One of the best scenes ever filmed.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
man.
I'll tell you, you see Burnt Offerings, you're gonna have a new favorite creepy out watch. I'm telling you now, it's creepy as hell.
All right, based on that, it's up to the top of my list. Burnt Offerings.
Remind me and I'll burn it for you. Just remind me.
I'm gonna watch it, dude. All right, so we've been talking for like almost an hour now, and I think we were gonna talk for like a half an hour, but we've doubled
on Tuesday night.
But we've doubled, and I've even burned out one of your phones, burning out a second one.
Yeah, okay, we've gone through two phones. We've talked about Rex Smith way too long.
Again, the important things in life, man. All right, so let's wrap this up by letting people know what's the latest with Deceased, how they can get in touch with you or find out the latest about the band.
We're going to be on the road a lot this year. Our next stops next month are in Richmond, Virginia, and North Carolina, and then the Maryland Death Fest, of course. Then in June, we're going for 5 shows in Texas, which include Harlingen and Houston and San Antonio and Austin. We're going to be touring West Coast later in August. We're going to be playing 2 shows in Arizona, 4 shows in California, Seattle, Portland, Oregon, Las Vegas, San Francisco, all that stuff. The new album, as I said, you know, I still think it's about 8 months off. We got the website up to tombstones.net. We got merchandise there. My email's out there, kingdoomstone@yahoo.com. Anybody's welcome to get in touch with me if they need anything. And, other than that, we got some. We just did Luck of the Corpus Picture just came out on Hell's Headbangers. We did a live thing called Blood Orgy at College Park, which is on Outlaw Records, which is pretty much out of print, but about to be repressed. Which is a
just stalking the airwaves,
the college,
right?
Or University of Maryland College.
The stalking the airwaves.
Yeah, you just snagged that.
Right, Hell's Headbangers has it.
Yeah, Hell's Headbangers is covering it. Yeah, yeah, they've got it.
They've got it. Yep, they've got it.
And other than that. Just doing what we do.
Well, I've got a couple.
Enjoying our summer and getting out.
I got a couple of email questions here for you. Someone would like to know, what shows in the South you're going to be playing? I think you mentioned some
well,
of the shows.
No, we need to work it out. Texas, like I said, in June we're playing. I'd like to get down to Florida and down to Georgia and Tennessee and places like that. We're actually in the works for a couple of those. Nothing's in stone yet. I have a couple friends that are working on Tampa and maybe Orlando, Florida. And I have some offers for Georgia and Tennessee, but nothing's worked out. Other than that, that's about it for the moment.
And also, there's a question here. Do you still read metal discussion boards?
I do, as often as I can. Anytime I get invited to something or a friend tells me someone's talking about the band, I like to come over there and see what's going on. I definitely keep online. I do a lot of my work online. So I see stuff when I can. I'm open to anything. KingDoomstone@yahoo.com. If anybody wants to send an invite over, I'd love to come over and chat with anybody.
Cool, man. That's the spirit. Hey, thanks a lot for coming on. We talked for about an hour, and I appreciate all your time. And it was a blast, man, talking about a lot of cool stuff. I really appreciate your time.
It definitely was fun. I enjoyed it, too, man. It's good to reminisce, and I'm a big 70s fan, too. And
oh, absolutely.
All I can say is come and knock at my door. Ace Company's the greatest show ever. That's one of my favorites, followed by Happy Days, probably, an Odd Couple. Yeah. Big fan. Also love Saved by the Bell.
Never got into it. It's not bad.
It's easy TV. It's fun. Every episode's fun for me.
My favorite newer show is
King of Queens.
Really? Interesting.
Big fan of that. That's been the only TV show I've liked on TV in probably the last 20 years.
Wow. What changed my life was The X-Files. Still to this day. The X-Files. Still to this day.
Yes, you never really followed that too much. I'm not the world's biggest sci-fi guy.
Yeah. Oh, but man, there's a lot of horror in that show too. Really?
Yeah,
is.
I've seen some that were pretty freaky.
Yeah, it's a really killer show.
It is what it is. You know, I'm always gonna be something. We talk about things. I'm gonna be bringing up Thieves Company or The Odd Couple or Cameron and Son.
Tell you what, I watch Burn Offerings. You check out a couple of seasons of The X-Files. We'll do a swap there. Hey, thanks again, King. Really appreciate your time, and we'll keep spinning Deceased, and you keep turning out the metal and doing some tours. And you're welcome on the airwaves anytime, man.
Hey, I They're ready to do.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Take care. Have a good night.
Okay, you too, brother.
Later.